That verse we heard, let me read from verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. In verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That verse, verse 10, follows after verse 8 and 9. Very important order. We learn this morning at how we are saved. How are we saved? Can you say it to yourself? I am saved by grace through faith. From the oldest to the younger, can we say that? I am saved by grace through faith. That is how we are saved. By grace, as a gift of God that we received simply by believing and adding no works to it. It's in believing it. It's a gift of eternal life. We're not saved by works, but we see in verse 10 that we're saved for good works. Not by works, but for good works. After being saved, there are good works for us to walk in. Because God didn't save us for us to stay in what he saved us from, our sin. To stay in our sin. God saved us to bring us out of sin. God didn't save us to sit and wait for heaven and that eternal life that is a gift. There are good works for us to walk in. So after God works salvation in you, he has good works to be done by you. There are good works for you to walk in. Works to walk in. How is your walk? We ask the question, are you saved this morning? Can you answer that question? Are you saved? If you said yes, then how is your walk being saved? How are you walking in your life? We're going to see that in verse 10, and we're going to see the identity that we have in Christ, and we're going to see the purpose that we have in our walk. Before we get to the identity and our purpose, I want to connect verse 8 and 9, which is very important. Again, it's in order. It begins with salvation by grace through faith. Our salvation by grace through faith is not, again, based upon our works in any way. Works done by us, but it's based upon and grounded upon the works done by Christ for us on our behalf. We should never get tired of hearing that. Because that is our salvation. And that is because God gets all the glory. We take no credit for it. It's all the glory that goes to God in our salvation. So if you're saved, then there are good works that will follow after that and what we call fruit of our lives. It's a result of our salvation, not the cause, but the fruit that will come out of that salvation. I want to give you a math equation. And I gave a little bit of math this morning that I was off. My wife corrected me. Maybe you noticed. How many zeros after a trillion? 12, not 9. Sorry for that. Just I want to make sure that's all clear. 12 zeros after in a trillion. But here's a math equation with words. Faith equals salvation plus works. That's the math of salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ equals salvation by Jesus Christ, and works follow after. Faith equals salvation plus good works. The Protestant reformers emphasized in this Latin phrase this genuine faith that works. And the English translation is, faith alone justifies, but not faith that is alone. So true faith will result in good works, and we're going to see that in God's Word. Titus chapter 2, if you'll follow with me, Titus chapter 2, and some verses here in Titus showing how faith works follow this work of grace. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. training us, again, the grace of God is training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, and listen to this, who are zealous for good works. These people who have been redeemed and saved by grace are trained to renounce ungodliness and to be zealous for good works. Zealous. Look at verse 3. In the middle of verse 8, it says here, those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. Devotion to good works. And also verse 14, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works. Any good works are the outworking of God's work of grace in you. God works grace in you and salvation, and out of that will come good works for you to do. Good works naturally flow out of saving faith. It will. For example, if you see lightning flash across the sky, what do you expect to follow? Some seconds later, depending on the distance, thunder. If someone has true saving faith, what do you expect to follow? Works. It will come out of true saving faith. If you know church history, you will know that this relationship between faith and works has been discussed and hotly debated. And so we have to understand its relationship, though we understand faith comes first and works follow after. But how are they related, the two together? Where do we turn? Because it's very clear from Paul that we saw this morning in Ephesians, but what about James? What does he say? At first glance, when you heard it read, this passage from James chapter 2, you wonder, is James contradicting what Paul says? There's no contradiction here. We have to see how it's not a contradiction. Faith without works is dead, as James speaks of. And we can see even at one verse there in chapter 2, verse 24, it seems as though it's a complete contradiction. Verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works, not by faith alone. What is he saying here? Well, look at verse 23. What example does James give to speak of justification? He says, the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. That's a reckoning of righteousness to Abraham when he believed. And when did Abraham believe? Abraham believed that one night he went out and he saw all the stars in the sky, and God spoke to him and said, count the stars in the sky if you can. The promise was made to him that this will be the number of your children. Abraham had no children yet. There's no promise of this son yet. And yet Abraham believed God, and at that moment of belief, saving faith, it was reckoned to him, it was accounted to him as righteousness. He had then a righteous standing before God. That was at that point. But then we know his faith was tested. Look at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? So many years later, when he had the son, the promise, and his boy Isaac grew up, he did obey God when he was called to lay him on the altar and sacrifice him. What was that? That was a justification of his faith, a vindication of his faith by his works, the evidence of his faith by his works. If you saw again here in chapter 2, verse 17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And then he says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. The evidence of true faith is works. And that's James's point. Abraham was justified. He was vindicated by the evidence of his works. His faith was working in his life. So do you give evidence of your faith by good works that follow after your faith? If I ask you, how is your walk? How is the walking in those good works? It is not to cause anyone to start doubting their salvation, who is a true believer. And that's what happens to many people. They look at their works and they see how they fail. They see how they lack in good works. And then they wonder if they do not have that saving faith. Because all of us at times, we may not have a great testimony of faith by our works. And yet, we do have this gospel message that when you believe, works will follow. There will be evidence, even though it will not be perfect evidence of following always in those good works. So to understand this walk in good works, we want to first understand our identity in Christ that we see in verse 4. So we turn back to Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10, sorry. And then we're also going to see the purpose, our purpose in this walk. First of all, our identity in this walk. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the opening words, "For we are his workmanship." We are, that's our identity. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That is what we are. Another translation could be, we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus. The fingerprints of God's handiwork, God's children, those who have been recreated more and more after his image, are all over his children. He's at work in their lives. And Scripture is replete of all the evidences of his work. Even in this letter, Ephesians, to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 4, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." He chose us for this purpose, with this identity, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Chapter 4, verse 24 of Ephesians, "We're putting on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." That's his purpose in this workmanship, or his, our identity in this workmanship. What does Isaiah write in Psalm, in Isaiah 64, verse 8? "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. We are the work of your hands." We are in the hands of a potter, the Father, and he's molding and shaping us. He has a workmanship in us. That's who he is for us, and that's our identity in him. Our identity is that we're made by God and recreated in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, maybe you know this verse. If anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. What happens to the old life is gone. It is behind you. It is past. All things are new before you. We're not only then a work in the Father's hand as our creator, but also as a new creation that is in his Son, Jesus Christ, who is our master. And he has a masterful work to do in us. His mastery, masterful work, as you see in 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. "Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." You have the picture of the house. And the master of a house is setting apart some vessels for his service that are made ready to be useful for him, for good works, ready for every good work. That's his workmanship in us. So our identity is that we're made ready for useful service. We've been saved to serve. We've been saved to serve. Do you realize that you are God's workmanship, ready-made for his purpose, for as your identity in him, for good works by his grace? for good works. To illustrate, there's a story of a church organist that I read. He was practicing a piece by Mendelssohn, and he was frustrated as he was playing this piece, and he wasn't playing it well, and he just gave up. He was gathering his pieces, his sheet music, and he started to leave. But he didn't know that at the back of the church building, someone had slipped in and sat in the back of the pew, the back of the church, and he came up to the organist and said, "Do you mind if I could play this piece for you?" And the organist said, "I never let anyone touch this organ." And yet he continued to request to play, and the grumpy musician reluctantly gave him permission to sit at the organ and play this music, and it filled the whole church building beautifully, flawlessly playing this piece. And the organist asked him, "Who are you?" And he says, "My name is Felix Mendelssohn," playing his own music. And isn't that what God does with us? He's telling us that we are his workmanship. He has created us for good works for us to walk in, and this is the way in which we glorify him, the creator, the masterful workman of good works that glorify him. That's his will for us, to walk in those good works that he has for us. That's our identity in our salvation, that we are his workmanship. And it leads us naturally to consider, secondly, our purpose in our salvation. So the identity in our salvation, that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And here's the purpose. The following words, for good works. It's for good works. That's the purpose of being his workmanship and of our salvation. Now there's a big difference again in verse 8 and 9 between being saved by not our own works, but by the work of Christ, but now being saved for good works. Not being saved by our own works, but being saved for good works. Our identity, as Paul says to the church in Corinth, if we don't have to turn there quickly, what does it say? That we are jars of clay, and we are holding a treasure in us, this as we are vessels. What is that? It's the gospel that we are shining forth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, the purpose of that is to show the surpassing glory, the surpassing power that belongs to God and not to us. That's the purpose of us shining forth this treasure of salvation. And the ultimate, ultimate purpose of our salvation, as Jesus says in Matthew 5:17, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. It's to give glory to God. That's the purpose of these good works. Now, I'm sure all of you have seen any reality TV shows of total home makeover. We've seen it a few times when we've seen TVs here and there. Total transformation of homes from the old to the new. What happens with those homes? They're completely transformed. It's bright, it's clean, it's new, and the same people that lived in the old are now living in the new. What are they to live now for? A new standard of living. And that's the same in salvation, that we are to live up to that new life that we have in Christ. In salvation, God makes everything new from the inside out. There's that total makeover in us. And what comes out of that is a plan and a purpose for our lives. Not to live according to the old way of living, but to the new way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 says, he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for their sake and was raised. So this new life that is in Jesus Christ, that we have, this living resurrection life that is in us, is for us to walk in the good works that he has prepared before us with that purpose. Paul prays for the church in Colossae, chapter 1, verse 10. He says, walk in a manner worthy, pleasing, doing a fully pleasing to him, worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work. Fruit that would come out of our faith. There's a man you maybe have heard of. His name is Nick Vujicic, and I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but he has preached the gospel to millions of people. And he's a special man in that when you see him, he doesn't have any arms, children. He doesn't have any arms, and he has no legs. And he has, from his hips, he has just a small little foot that extends with a tiny little toe. And he kind of wobbles around like a penguin on the stage, and he preaches the gospel to millions of people. And his story of salvation is that when he was 15 years old, he was reading in John chapter 9 of the man who was born blind, and he saw his purpose for his own life in the purpose of this man who was born blind. As Jesus says, that the purpose of this man to live, born to be blind, as blind, was so that the works of God would be revealed through him. And he realized when he was 15 years old that God had a purpose for him, that God was going to reveal his works in him and through him. And he has since that day. You can look him up online. And just as he has limitations, all of us have limitations. We might wonder, what purpose do you have for me in my life? And yet he has this purpose in your identity in Christ. He has a purpose of good works for you to walk in. And he's prepared all of those, he says here, beforehand. God, before creating the heavens and the earth, even in his own mind, he had everything written out as a story for each of your lives. Everything has been pre-planned beforehand with good works for you to walk in, that you should walk in them. And it's not for us to try to wonder what's next in our lives. What choice or decision we should be making next. What we have in knowing how to walk is his word, is to walk in the word, his revealed will to us. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says, the secret things belong to God, but the revealed things belong to us and to our children, that we may obey them. What does 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 say? That all scripture is given by God for what? Teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished for every good work. So if we know God has revealed to us in his inspired word of good works for us to walk in and follow, then we know our responsibility. We know God and his providence, he leads us, and yet we know that we are to walk by faith in his word. How to walk? You walk with your identity, knowing your identity as his workmanship, and you walk with that purpose, that you know that there are good works that God has prepared beforehand for you to walk in. And the ultimate purpose is what? Is that your good works will give glory to your Father in heaven. Let's pray.